Today's share is Masechta Shavuos Daf Chaf Tes. We will begin on Daf Chaf Tes, Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ezu Shavuos Shav. What is considered a Shavuos Shav? Says the Mishnah, Nishba L'Shanes Es Yidua L'Adam. If somebody makes a Shavuos to say different from what is well known, for example, Amar Al Amud Shel Evin Shu Shel Zav. If somebody says that something that's really made out of stone is made out of gold. Al ishu isha. If a man, somebody says that someone is a man, is a woman. Or al isha shuish. Or he says that someone who's a woman is a man. All of these are examples of a shvua shav. Is a machloikus rishonim. If somebody makes a shvua to say something that everybody knows is true, is indeed the case. For example, somebody makes a shvua that the man is the man, or the woman is the woman. There, the Rishonim debate if that also is included in the category of a Shavuos Shav. Interesting, Radvaz, in the explanation of a Rambam, where the Rambam discusses a situation where somebody makes a Shavuos that the world is smaller than the sun, when we know that the sun is really larger than our world. What would be the halach in that case? And Radvaz, in explaining the opinion of the Rambam, says that since this fact, that our globe is actually smaller than the sun, is not an obvious fact, nor is it a fact that is known to everyone. It's only known to scientists or people who have studied. Therefore, he says, it does not automatically fall into the category of a shvua shav. Continues the Mishnah. Nishba al dover shi efshaloi. If somebody makes a shvua about something which is impossible for to seen or happen. For example, if somebody says a shvua, imloi reisi gomol sheperech ba'aver, if I did not see a camel flying in the sky, vimloi reisi nochash kikaris beis abad, or if he says, if he makes a shvua that he hasn't seen a snake as large as the beam of an olive press, and this will all be explained more in the Gemara, those two are included in the category of a Shavuos Shav. Amar le'edim, if somebody says to edim, Shavuos, bo'vihiduni, come and say edus on my behalf, and they respond, Shavuos, shaloni yadeyecha, that we will not come to say Shavuos, we will not say the Eidus, that too is included in the category of a Shavuos Shav, since one is obligated to say Eidus if he knows Eidus. Ask the Rishonim. We're going to learn actually in the next words of the Mishnah that Shavuos Levatel is a mitzvah. If somebody makes a shvua that he's going to violate a mitzvah, is in the category of a Shavuos Shav. So why does our Mishnah have to point out the case of saying to Edom, say Edus, and they refuse? It's a mitzvah to say Edus. So it should be like all other Shavuos Levatel as a mitzvah. So some explain that that indeed is what the Mishnah's come to teach us. That the Mishnah's teaching us that refusing to say Edus is indeed considered a shvua levatel as a mitzvah. Another pshat is, if somebody makes a shvua, what his intent in making the shvua was levatel as a mitzvah, it's very well understood why that shvua is not valid, as we're about to learn and have actually already learned. But in our case, with the people who made the shvua didn't make the shvua because they want to be mevatel a mitzvah. They made the shvua because they hate the person who requested the shvua to be made, and to hate the person that they want, that wants that they should say testimony on his behalf. So one would think that that should not be included in the category of shvua levatel a mitzvah. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that it's considered a shvua shav. Another pshat is that it's coming actually to repeat a din that we spoke about a moment ago, that our Mishnah said that what the Mishnah began, what is considered a shvu'a shav, that somebody said something which is obviously not true. Somebody said that a man is a woman or vice versa. This din is come to teach us Amal Shnayim, Amal Eidim, that everybody knows their Eidim and they're refusing to say Eidis. So perhaps this ought to be considered in the category of just be Mekayim or fulfilling something that's well known to everybody, and therefore may not be considered in the category of Shvu'a Shav. Teaches us the Mishnah that it's still considered in the category of Shvu'a Shav. And indeed now teaches us the Mishnah, the din that we just mentioned, Nishvel Vatel Samitzvah. If somebody makes a Shvu'a to be Mevatel Samitzvah, for example, Shloi Lasis Sukkah, Vishloi Lita Lulav, Shloi Lenich Tfilin, these are all examples of Shvu'a Shav. Rashi explains the why is Nishba Levatalis a mitzvah included in the category of a Shvu'a Shav, since we are obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. Saying that you won't is like saying that something, saying something that's impossible to be. As we've discussed previously, there is a discussion amongst Rishonim, what would be the halacha if somebody makes a Shvu'a to Mevatel a mitzvah de Rabbanan. As I mentioned earlier, there is a machloikis. The Rosh says that even if somebody makes a shvuah to mevatel an issa de Rabbanan, the shvuah is considered, the Ritva holds that the shvuah is an invalid shvuah, whereas the Rosh says, since it's only osav de Rabbanan, and the chiyuv to fulfill a shvuah is a chiyuv deraisa, therefore says the Rosh that the Shvu'ah will actually be valid. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out, why did the Mishnah have to give us a number of different examples of Levatalos and Mitzvah? So I saw the Mefarshim explain that we know that the Mitzvahs of the Torah are divided into three categories, Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. So the Mishnah wanted to give us an example in each one of the categories. Saying Eidus is in the category of Mishpatim, Sukkah and Lulav are in the category of Eidus, and Tefillin are in the category of Chukim. The Mefarshim also point out that our Mishnah discusses the issue of Shloi Lasa Sukkah. If somebody makes a Shvu'ah not to make a Sukkah, that is considered Nishba Levatalas a Mitzvah. So the question is, the mitzvah isn't to make a sukkah for sukkahs, the mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. So the question is, why is this considered nishba levatel as a mitzvah, the shvuah not to make sukkah? And there are two different approaches in the Mefarshim on how to address this question. Some Mefarshim suggest that indeed, what the Mishnah means by lasis a sukkah doesn't mean sitting in the sukkah. The Mishnah doesn't mean making a sukkah, but means sitting in the sukkah. And they go on to say, so why does the Mishnah use different wording for sukkah, lasis a sukkah, whereas by luv it says litel al luv? So they explain, because the Torah wording regarding sukkah uses the words asiya, the Torah regarding luluf uses the words lakicha, so the Mishnah just wanted to follow the wording of the Torah. But indeed, when the Mishnah speaks about a sukkah, it doesn't mean making the sukkah. There is no specific mitzvah in making the sukkah. The mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah. However, there are other mefarshim, the Avnei Nezer and the Chalkas Yaakov, discuss this at length, and they say that our Mishnah is teaching us that even machshirei mitzvah, which are not part of the essential mitzvah, are included in the category of levatel as a mitzvah. And therefore, even though it's not absolutely necessary for one to construct a sukkah, still the Mishnah is teaching us that it's a machshirei mitzvah and it's included in making in the mitzvah, and therefore one makes us a shvur, the shvur is considered a shvur shav. In fact, I saw Paiskim saying, based on this, we know that the halach is, if one's brother passes away without children, his wife has to have yibam or chalitza. And certainly, as we learned in Masechta Yevamos and in other sugyas, yibam is more preferable, at least bizman chazal, than chalitza. Still, even if someone were to have the intent to do yibam, and he makes a shvua that we not do chalitza, still, since chalitza certainly is in the category of a mitzvah, again, our Mishnah is teaching us that anything that's remotely related to a mitzvah is included in the category of shvua levatlas a mitzvah. However, there is a Yerushalmi that says that in certain situations, a shvua levatel as a mitzvah would take effect. For example, he says, if somebody makes a shvua not to eat matzah for the entire year, there he says the shvua takes effect, since it doesn't only involve matzah on Pesach, it involves matzah a whole year where there is no mitzvah. This is a situation that we discussed earlier in our perek of koilel, a shvua sakoilel, and such a case, the shvua would be chal. Taisvis, however, disagrees, and Taisvis makes a very interesting distinction in the name of the Ri. He makes a distinction between a situation where one makes a shvua to not do mitzvah sasei versus a situation where one makes a shvua to do a mitzvah lo sasei. For example, let's say there's a tray of meat, which the tray meat contains both kosher and non-kosher meat. And somebody goes and makes a shvua that he's going to eat the entire tray. There, says the Ri, we don't apply the concept of koilel that he should be obligated to eat the non-kosher meat. Because the Ramban has a very interesting way of explaining the Ri's opinion. He says, whatever there is a conflict between the shvua somebody made and a mitzvah, what we're supposed to do is sheval taisa. So for example, if somebody, going back to the example that we gave from the Yerushalmi, if somebody made a shvua that he's not going to eat matzah the entire year, so he shouldn't eat matzah. Sheval taisa tells us, don't do anything. Don't do anything means, don't eat the matzah. However, in the case that we just described, if somebody made a shvua, they're going to eat everything on the tray, and on the tray are both kosher meat and non-kosher meat. So by making that shvua, what he's saying is that he sheval taisa tells us don't do anything, and of course don't eat the non-kosher meat. Says the Mishnah, these examples that we've just learned are zui shvua shav, are all shvua shav, that the halach is by a shvua shav, shechayov razodoy nemakis. If somebody does this deliberately, somebody makes such a shvua deliberately, he's chayiv makis. But shigosoy, if he makes it b'shogig, he's potter, there is no chiyiv carbon. What is the example the mefarshim give of shogig? That somebody knows that you're not allowed to make a shvua shav, and he knows what he's saying, there is a shvua shav, but for example, he doesn't know that there's an issur lav. He thinks it's only an issur asay. That is included in the category of a shvua shav. Continues the Mishnah, shvua sh'oichel kikazu, if somebody makes a shvua that he's going to eat this loaf, and then he makes a shvua sh'loyachlena, that he will not eat it. So Rishayna, the first shvua he made, was a shvua spitui. A shvua spitui that we discussed so many times in our Masechta, where somebody accepts upon himself an obligation, it's certainly considered a valid shvua. But since now he has an obligation to eat this loaf, the second shvua was automatically an impossible shvua to fulfill, and therefore the shnia will be a shvua shav. And therefore, ochla, where as soon as he fulfills his shvua by eating this loaf, he has violated the shvua shav, because that shvua shav came immediately. Lo yachlo, if he didn't eat it of our shvua spitoy, he will have violated the shvua shav. bitui. The Mefarshim point out, why does the Mishnah say ochla? So the Mishnah said to teach us that it's, isn't it a shvu shav the moment he declared it? Because as soon as he declared it, it was impossible, given that he already had a chiyuv shvu sh'oichel kikazu. Explain the Mefarshim, until he actually eats it, he always has the ability to have his shvua annulled. If he will have the shvua annulled, the first shvua annulled, it won't be anymore a shvua shav. Therefore, only when he eats the first kikar, and at that point, does it become obvious and for sure that the second shvua was a shvua shav. Says the Mishnah, Amar Ula, the Mishnah began, that what is the example of a shvua shav? The Mishnah began with saying something that is obviously false. Saying something stone is gold. Amar Ula, says Ula, v'hu shenikal gimel b'nei Adam. It has to be three people should know what he said is a shvua shav. As we've discussed earlier, it is the opinion of many Rishonim that if somebody made a shvua that's obviously false, but it's not known to three people, many Rishonim are in the opinion that it may not be considered necessarily a shvua shav, as our Gemara just taught us, but it will fall into the category of a shvua sheker. Furthermore, I saw that the Minchas Chinuch says that let's say somebody made a shvua which three people indeed are aware is obviously not true, but it's not your average, everybody knows that. It's only great scholars, great Talmid Chachamim, scientists, for example, or whatever, that will not be considered, says the Minchas Chinuch, an example of Gimel B'nai Adam. Gimel B'nai Adam are three average, regular people. Continues the Mishnah. Continues the Gemara in explaining the Mishnah. Nishba, adav she'ir shaloi. If somebody makes a shvua about something that's impossible, for example, he made a shvua, im loy re'isi gomo perech ba'avir, if I didn't see a camel flying in the sky. Says the Gemara, shvua she're'isi loy kamer. It didn't say a shvua that I saw such a camel. My im loy re'isi. So what is wrong with Imloi Re'isi? So as I sort of Ritva explains the Gemara's question, that there are two parts to the Gemara's question. One part to the Gemara's question is that the wording of Imloi Re'isi is not the wording of a Shvua, rather it's the wording of a Neder. But then Ritva says another pshat, that what did he say? Shvua Imloi Re'isi. He made a shvua that he didn't see a camel flying in the sky, which is exactly the case. He indeed did not see a camel flying in the sky. So why would that be considered a shvua? What's wrong with this statement? Abai Amma. So Abai says, Tani, that indeed the wording of the Mishnah should be shvua shirisi. He makes a shvua that he saw a camel flying in the sky. So this, as we just explained the Gemara's question, resolves both questions. First of all, he didn't use the word im, which is a wording of a nether. So indeed, this is indeed the proper wording of a shvua. And what he said is patently impossible. It's impossible to see a camel flying in the sky. Rava says a different way of understanding the Mishnah. Boimer, it's referring to a situation where somebody said, Ye'osru koperish shaba'olam alai, all fruits in the world, all produce in the world should be also to me, im la ri'isi gomo perech ba'avar. If I didn't see a camel flying in the sky. And as most Rishonim of the opinion, since it's impossible to see a camel flying in the sky, therefore this shvua means that he will not be able to eat any produce, which, as Rabbeinu Tam explains, it's impossible for a person to survive that way without eating any fruit, any produce of the world, and therefore the shvua is considered a shvuish shav. The Rishonim debate, what is included in Kol Perish Sheba'olam Alai? The Hagos Maimini is of the opinion that it doesn't mean specifically fruits, it means also animals and cheese and eggs. Because he says, if it will only be limited to fruit, it's hard to understand the psak of the Rebbeinu Tam, that that is the basis of our entire Gemara, that this is a shvuah that's impossible to fulfill. That Gos Maimri suggests that one could survive by eating things besides that grow from the earth. However, Duran disagrees, and Duran says that it only refers to produce that grow from the ground. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi, ask Ravina to Ravashi, why do we automatically say that this is a Shvuah Shav? V'dilma, Hai Gavra Tzipar Rabba Chazi, perhaps this person saw a very large bird, V'asik L'Shma Gamla, and he, in his mind, called this bird a camel, V'kika Mishtaba, so his Shvuah Adat Didei Ishtaba, he makes a Shvuah based on his own wording, and the way he calls this bird a camel. Interesting tshuva from the Tzemach Tzedek that says as follows. We know in writing a get, very careful attention must be given to writing the name of the people who are getting the husband who's giving the get. The names of the people getting the get have to be written very exactly, all of the names, all the nicknames, etc. The question is, at times we know people have their names changed. Particularly it happens sometimes, Rachman Tzlan, if someone is ill and they change the name because a skula for a foolish shleima. And the question is, if somebody's name was changed, and that very day that the name was changed, he gives a get, what name should be written in the get? So there's a discussion, of course, l'chatchila, all the names should be written to the get. What would be the halacha if only that name, the new name, is written in the get? Would it be a kosher get? And the Tzemach Tzedek wants to suggest that it would be, because he says, our Gemara says, this person, today, decided to call a bird in the sky a camel, and the Gemara says that would be fine, if not for the issue that we're going to discuss at length in a moment. So we see that changing something, the change could be effective immediately. So, again, our Mishnah, our Gemara is asking, why when somebody makes a Shvuah, that he saw a camel flying in the sky, is it automatically considered a Shvuah Shav? Maybe when he spoke about the camel, he meant a large bird, which he named camel. V'chitema, what perhaps you say, basa pume azlinen, we only follow what the person actually said. V'loy azlinen basa dati, but we don't follow what he thinks, says the Gemara Votanya. We learned in a brisa, kishmeshbin oisoi, when we have a litigant in an entire swear, we make him swear, armeloy, have yedeya. We're not making you swear based on your own understanding. El al datenu valdas bezdin, based on what Bezdin feels. My tama, why did the Bezdin make this declaration? La mishum, let's say there's an entire where somebody says somebody owes someone else money, and the person is saying that I paid up. So maybe what the person who's setting falsely saying that he paid up meant was that he gave wooden chips to the person who owed money, and in his mind he's calling those chips vasik luzuzi. In his mind he's calling those chips money. Now when he's making yeshua, adata dedeka mishtaba, he's using his own words. So it's only because Bezdin said al datenu vadas bestenu. That's why such a shvua, that's why it's Bezdin has to say it. But if we don't have such a declaration, we follow indeed the understanding of the person who made the shvua. Says the Marloi, we only follow what the person said. Why over there do we make the person, if we follow his words? So if the person said, I paid money, we can't say that in his mind wooden chips is zuzim. There is a whole different reason. Because the episode of Kanya Derava. The Kanya Derava was a situation as follows, where somebody came before Rava to a Din Torah demanding payment that somebody owed him money. The person who owed the money, the debtor, claimed that he already paid. So Rava said that he has to make a shvuah. What he did was, he went home, filled up a hollow cane with money, and came to Beis Din to make a shvuah. Before he made the shvuah, he asked his creditor to please hold the cane. And then took a Sefer Torah and made a shvuah that he paid his creditor the money. The creditor, when he heard the shvuah, got very angry and he smashed the cane and all the money came flying out. So in actuality, the debtor had sworn truthfully. It's only to avoid such a situation, that's when Chazal made up that before the person makes a shvuah, he should make the shvuah al datenu v'al das Beis Din. But if the Beis Din would not have said it, we would have followed the plain meaning of the words. So again, we're back to our case. In our Mishnah, the shvuah is not a valid shvuah because we follow the plain meaning of the words. If a person said gamel parech ba'aver, we don't say he meant the bird. A gamel is a camel. Tosfos in Amud Beis asks, how did this episode ever happen? If we have a rule that to avoid such an issue, Beis Din always makes the person who's going to swear al datenu val das Beis Din, isn't that the best way of avoiding this problem? Answers Tosfos that what happened in that case was that the debtor made the shvuah before Beis Din could give its introductory remarks of al datenu val das Beis Din. So again, the Gemara now is going to be discussing the issue: if somebody who makes a shvuah, can we say that we follow what he meant, even if it's not the plain meaning of the words? Says Mar Toshma, became a tzinu kishishbiyam Moshe Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu made Klal Yisrael make a shvuah by Har Sinai, Amalehem, he said to them, "Do shloy al datchem val das shloy al datchem ani mishbiyah etzchem." It's not only on your understanding, rather it's al das hamok val dati. Says the Gemara, "Vamai, why was Moshe Rabbeinu required to say that? Lemlu kaimu mai dekam alaka. He should have just said to them, do what Hashem said. Lamishum. Wasn't the reason Moshe Rabbeinu had to go out of his way to say, loy adatchem, valdas animishbeyeschem, el adas amok valdati? Because the mask at that time, vetz kechovim, he'll make them a shvuah, serve Hashem, and they'll say, when they said Hashem, they meant avodah zarah. Says loy. It's not because that's what they would have said. Because rather, Mishum Davoy is Kechavim, Namri Rika Eloka. Avodah Zarah is actually called Eloka. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Elohei Chesev Velohei Zov. So therefore, since the Torah uses those words specifically, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu cannot just say, serve Hashem. Ask Tosfos, if Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that Klal Yisrael were really looking to avoid following the Torah. So just like, and that's why when they say they're going to serve Hashem, they really mean they're going to serve Avodah Zarah. So if so, why would they be more careful about a Shvuah if these are people that are ready to worship Avodah Zarah? So what is the purpose of the Shvuah? So some Mefarshim explain that in all times people took the certain mitzvahs that people take very seriously. And shvuah is an example of such a mitzvah. People have always taken shvuah seriously, and even if they're ready to worship Avodah Zarah, they're not ready to violate a shvuah. Another pshat that the Mashal suggests, other Mefarshim suggest, even if we're going to have a concern that they weren't serious about their commitment to worshiping Hashem, still they explain that Kabbalah HaTorah requires a shvuah. And since Kabbalah HaTorah requires a shvuah, that is the way the Torah has to be given. That's why even if Moshe was concerned about their intentions, a shvuah is required. Others explain, as we have been discussing in our Masechta at length, there's a concept of Mushba V'Oimid Mahar Sinai. This is where Mushba V'Oimid Mahar Sinai happened, which has such very significant ramifications for many halachas that we've been discussing, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to make him swear, which really opens itself up to another question which we have previously discussed. Was this a full-fledged shvuah? The opinion of the Shach is that it was a full-fledged shvuah. The Rai of the Shach is because the halacha is, if somebody is not careful in a certain issue in halacha, the rule is that we can't trust them. In other words, if somebody's not careful about only eating kosher food, we can't trust him when he says the food is kosher. And the halach is, even if the person swears that the food he's serving you is kosher, we still can't trust him. Why? Because, says the Shach, he already violated a shvuah. That we all have a shvuah on Har Sinai, that we have to follow the mitzvahs, and yet this person violated that shvuah, so why should this new shvuah that he's making today have any more strength? The Chazon Ish disagrees with the Shach. The Chazon Ish says that it wasn't a full-fledged shvuah that took place on Har Sinai, because he explains, if that were the case, the shvuah, if we would consider it a full-fledged shvuah, then the shvuah we took on Har Sinai was on all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And therefore, as soon as anybody would ever violate even one mitzvah of the Torah, he should be considered a person that's not Neman B'Shvuah, because he violated the Shvuah in Har Sinai. And therefore, the Chazon Ish's approach is that it wasn't a full-fledged Shvuah. Actually, the Machloikis of the Shach and the Chazon Ish, if it was a full-fledged Shvuah, really is related to another issue. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, as we're going to now discuss in our Gemara, made the Shvuah in Har Sinai with Klal Yisrael, who was there by Kabbalah HaTorah. But we know, we apply, as we have in our Perek numerous times, apply the concept of Mushba V'Oimid Mahar Sinai for all generations. But all generations weren't on Har Sinai. So the answer is that not necessarily were we physically there, but our neshamas were there. But a shvuah is, you need the person, as we learned in our parak, ha'adam b'shvuah, the actual person has to be there for the shvuah to be a valid shvuah. So we're back to our question. The actual people weren't by Har Sinai, then the neshamas were by Har Sinai. So if we follow the approach of the Chazon Ish, that it isn't a regular shvuah when we speak about Mushba v'Oimid Mahar Sinai, so then all the halachas that we've been discussing regarding shvuah, the halacha that the actual person has to be there, also would not apply, because we don't need the actual person there. But if we're going to explain that Mushba V'Oimid Mahar Sinai means a full-fledged shvuah, so again, we weren't there, our neshamas were there. And to answer this question, we're going to have to say that the Shach follows the opinion of the Shlach HaKadosh, that the Shlach HaKadosh says that not only would a neshamas of the people of future generations at Har Sinai, but actually the people themselves were at Har Sinai by Kabbalah HaTorah. One more answer to the question that Tosfos has posed to us, that why if somebody makes a shvuah, why was Moshe Rabbeinu interested in them making a shvuah if they're anyway not going to fulfill the shvuah, then if their intent was avoid the Zorah, so these aren't people that have intention of worshipping Hashem, so they're going to be worried about a shvuah. So there's an interesting vart from the Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer asks that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, that in the Torah we find shvuahs, that shvuahs were made before Kabbalah HaTorah. For example, we know that Avraham Avinu made a shvuah with Elimelech. We know that Avraham Avinu made a shvuah with Eliezer. Yaakov made a shvuah with Yosef. It was all before the Torah was given, before the parasha of shvuah came into effect. So why are shvuahs? What was the purpose of these shvuahs? Says the Avni Nezer that even though the parasha of shvuah was only given to Klal Yisrael on Har Sinai, by Kabbalah HaTorah, the commitment that exists If you ask me to do something and you ask me to swear that I'll do it, that's a basic commitment. That's the way people live with each other, and that existed already. That is an obvious commitment, something that always has to be effective. So that could be perhaps pshat and taisus. Moshe Rabbeinu indeed was concerned that Klal Yisrael's intentions weren't that great, but he knew that part of the way the world has to exist is that if two people make a commitment to each other, that commitment has to be solid. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu made a shvuah, which now creates a certain commitment between Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu, between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, that cannot be violated. Says the Gemara, why did Moshe Rabbeinu just say, Kaima Torah, fulfill the Torah, which that obviously can't mean anything but the Torah? And says the Gemara, they would have only fulfilled Chad the Torah. Only Torah Shebiksav, not the Torah Shebapeh. So let him have said, Kaim Shtei Torahs. Says the Gemara, they would have interpreted it to mean Torahs Chattas, the Torahs Asham. As we know, the Pasuk says, Zoyz Torahs Chattas, Zoyz Torahs Asham. Kaim Kala Torah Kula. So you should have said the word Kaim Kala Torah Kula. Says the Gemara, they would have said that it means Avodah Zarah. Tamamara, as we know, Chamura Avodah Zara is considered such a serious Avera. She called a Koifabo, whoever renounces Avodah Zara, is Kamayda B'chal Tarek Kula. So they were only kept Avodah Zara, nothing else. V'laimalu Kaima Mitzvah. Why wouldn't we say just fulfill the Mitzvah? So they would have only fulfilled Chod Mitzvah. Ask the Mara, why not say Kaimu Mitzvois? Tarti. They would have only fulfilled two Mitzvahs. We know we have 613. So why didn't he use, the Gemara asks, the words Kol HaMitzvahs Kulon? So he would, says the Gemara, they would have only fulfilled Mitzvahs Tzitzis. Domar Mar, Shkul HaMitzvah Tzitzis, Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs Kulon. The Mitzvah Tzitzis is considered equal to all the other Mitzvahs. And therefore, they would have only fulfilled that Mitzvah. Why is Shkul HaMitzvah? Why is Tzitzis Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs Kulon? So Mepharshim give a number of reasons. Pasha Pshat, because as the Pasuk says, Risim Oisoi Uzachatem as Kol Mitzvah Hashem. Another Pshat is that the numerical value, the gematria of Tzitzis is 600. If you add the number of strands, which are 8, and the number of knots with which the strands are tied to them is 5, equals 613. That's why Tzitzis is Keneged Kol Mitzvahs Kula. Another pshat that I saw is a beautiful pshat from the Sefer Panim Yafos. He explains that we know that normally a person doesn't wear a garment. We don't wear garments with four corners. The only reason we purposely put on a garment, a talus cotton, that has on it four corners, in order that we should now be mechuyif in mitzvah tzitzis. That's what he says. Shkula mitzvah tzitzis. Just like a person goes ahead and looks to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis, even though it could easily be absolved from it, so too should be our attitude to all the mitzvahs. Avleimu, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu just say, Kaimu sheish meis, v'shloi sheitz mitzvahs, fulfill all tariag mitzvahs? Says the Gemara, so now the Gemara actually does seem to hold that Moshe Rabbeinu could have given them a shvuah that could not have been misunderstood, no matter how they would try. L'tameich, so the Gemara takes a different approach. Because now the Gemara asks, L'tameich, Leimelu al-dati, Moshe Rabbeinu should have just said that I'm making the shvu al-dati. Al-das ha-mokam lomeli. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to add the words al-das ha-mokam? Ella, the reason he said it was kehech delay to have a aral shvua say, that should not be able to be annulled. Poshup shot is because now it would be a neder al das rabim, and the halacha, as we have learned previously, is that a neder al das rabim cannot be annulled. Others explain, Taisus goes into this, he says it's not necessarily a neder al das rabim, because a neder al das rabim requires three people, but here, because the words al das hamokim was used, and wherever the words al das hamokim are used, that's a shvua that cannot be annulled. Even though the Rishonim discuss that sometimes we do use those words when we make a shcherim and they can be annulled, So Rishonim asked the answer that not only here the Moshe Rabbeinu used the words of Das HaMakom, but it was actually Al Das HaMakom, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed told Moshe Rabbeinu to make Klal Yisrael make the Shvuah, and when Klal Yisrael is supposed to make such a Shvuah, when instructed to make a Shvuah like this, they can't make a, it can't be annulled. Says the Gemara, Vim loy re'isi, somebody makes a shvuah, Vim loy re'isi nachash, kikaris beis abad, if I haven't seen a snake like the beam of an alapress. V'loy, ask the Gemara, is that something that's impassable? V'hu dehava b'shnei shvar malka, there was this snake in the time of shvar malka, chav achad dachs of t'leis urvasativna, that could eat up 13 stablefuls of hay. And in fact, Yerushalmi says what happened was it was causing so much damage that they put fire into the hay, and then when it ate the hay, that's how it finally got killed. Amishmul, what the Mishnah means is b'taref, where the person who made the shvuah that said that the snake had spots and had grooves in it. Says the Gemara, indeed, kulanami mitrif trifin. All snakes have these spots. Answers the Gemara, b'shugaba taref. He said that the back of the snake have spots. This snakes have spots, but the spots are by the neck. This is how Rashi explains the Gemara. The other Rishonim explained that he said that the snake was square like the olive press. As snakes are not square, snakes are round. The Mishnah said that if somebody made a shvuah, shoich kikazu, that I'm going to eat this kikar, and then he said, shvuah shaloyach lena, the first shvuah is a shvuah bitui, and the second shvuah is a shvuah shof. Hashta, and therefore if he ate the loaf, he's over a shvuah shof. If he doesn't eat it, it was over a shvuah bitui. Ask the Gemara, it seems that unless he ate the loaf, it's not considered shvuah shav. Ask the Gemara, hashta, mishum shvuah spitu mechayiv, mishum shvuah v'loi mechayiv, harayotza shvuah shav l'shav. If he violates it, it shouldn't change the fact that it's a shvuah shav. Amar b'yemiyah, tonight afa shvuah spitu. A shvuah shav it is, because the moment he made the shvuah, he wasn't allowed to make that shvuah, because he already had a preceding obligation to eat it. Now on top of that previous obligation to eat it, he also has a chiyuv of, and that's why it's a shvuah shav. And then afterwards he violates the first shvuah, he also will have been over the shvuah spitui. Continues the Mishnah. Shvuah spitui. The halacha of shvuah spitui, noheges b'anoshim v'noshim, applies to men and women, b'ksherim, the krayvim rechaykim, people who are relatives and not relatives. If somebody made a shvuah that he's going to give something to somebody else or not give something to somebody else, it makes no difference if the person who's the subject of the shvuah is a relative or not. B'fnei bezdim, shlo b'fnei bezdim, b'ksherim p'sulim, it makes no difference if the people are able to say testimony or not. This is all in contrast to what we're going to learn in the next parak, where we're going to begin learning the halachas of shvuah sa'edis. Bifnei bezdin, v'shloi bifnei bezdin, both in front of bezdin and not in front of bezdin, bifnei atzmai. As long as the shvuah was initiated by the person saying it. That's pash pshat in the Mishnah. We'll go more into this in the Gemara. The chayovim, we know the halacha is that if somebody violates a shvuah's bitui, b'mezid, he gets malchus. Val shigasa, if he does it b'shagig, there's a chiyuv of carbon oil of yared. Shvuah shav, the halacha of a shvuah shav, noheges b'anoshim v'noshim, it applies both to men and women. B'rechaykim u'rekayvim, b'ksherim u'psulim, b'fnei bezim, shlo b'fnei bezim, umi pi atzmai. He has to say it by himself. V'chayovim, here halacha is that if he violates b'mezid, he's chayiv malchus. Val shigasa, by shagig, he's potter, he doesn't get any punishment. Achazu v'achazu, both the shvuas bitui and the shvuas shav, hamujman pi acherim chayiv, if somebody was made the shvuah because somebody else started the shvuah and he just answered, loy chalti hayoyim, if somebody says, I didn't eat today, v'loy nachti tefillin hayoyim, And somebody makes that statement, and then somebody else hearing the person make the statement asks him, are you prepared to make a shvuah? V'omer amen, and he says amen, chayiv, it's considered that he made a shvuah. Amar Shmuel, make Shmuel, says Shmuel a statement, kol ha'ina amen ach a shvuah, whoever responds amen after a shvuah was said, is k'moitzi shvuah mipiv domi. It's considered as if he made a shvuah. The ksiv, as the pasuk says in the parasha of Asaita, v'amar isha amen amen. The Torah states that the woman has to make a shvuah, yet we don't see her making a shvuah. The kohen says the shvuah, and all she does is say amen, yet it's considered a full-fledged shvuah. Furthermore, most Rishonim are of the opinion that not only, as Shmuel says, when somebody says the word amen, is it considered as if he made a shvuah, but even if the person just said, I agree, or anything to affirm that what is being said as a shvuah is a shvuah, that is considered a full-fledged shvuah. Although I did see Rishonim that make a distinction between a shvuah in the future, where somebody says, I'm going to do something, and somebody says, are you prepared to swear to that, and he says, he doesn't necessarily say yes, he just affirms it, that's considered a shvuah, whereas regarding the past, there the word amen and only the word amen would be acceptable. Amar Papa Mishmei Derava Masnis and Braisa Namideka. We have a right both from the Mishnah F and the Braisa, the Halacha is that way, the Tani, because we learned in our Mishnah Shvuah Saidis Nahegas benoshim v'loy benoshim applies to men and not women. Berchayke v'loy bekroivim, b'kshem v'loy b'psulim. V'ena nahegas el maruin lahayid. It only applies to those people who are eligible to testify, as we're going to learn. Somebody who's not a kosher eid can't make a shvuas eidus. Or v'fnei bezdin v'shloy b'fnei bezdin. Mipi atzmai, it's considered only a shvuas eidus if he made it himself. Or mipi acherim, but if somebody else made him make that shvuah. It's not considered shvuas eidus unless they deny the knowledge in front of Bezdin. Divrei Remeya. That's the opinion of Remeya. That's what we're going to learn actually in the next Mishnah. Yet, b'tanya b'braisa, shvuas eidus ketzad. What is the explanation of a shvuas eidim? Amala eidim, bovei edioni. Say testimony for me. Shvuas ein ani yoidim l'cha eidus, and they respond, we don't know any testimony. Asha amru ein ani yoidim l'cha eidus. Or they say, we don't know Eidus. Mashbiyani Elechem, he makes them swear. Vamru Amen, and they say Amen. Dir Aloch is, Beimifnei Bezdin, Bein Shlom Befnei Bezdin. Whether this took place in front of Bezdin, or not in front of Bezdin, Meimi Pi Atzman Beim Elcherim, whether the Eidim said the Shvuah, or others said Shvuah, Kivin Shekofer Behem, as long as they denied some knowledge, it's considered that the Chayovim, that they were over a Shvuah, so Eidus Divir Emeyim. Ask the Gemara, Kashan Adadi, don't we have a stira? The Mishnah says that Remeya holds that somebody who denies knowledge outside a Bezdin, it's only considered a valid shvuah if he said Mepi Atzmai. Where the Braisa says the Remeya holds that somebody is chai for shvuah to Eidus even outside a Bezdin when it was Mepi Acherim. How do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? When somebody said Amen, it's considered as if he said it himself, and therefore even if it's outside of Bezdin, it's considered a Shvuah Sa'edis. But if he didn't say the word Amen, and it was Mipi Acherim, and it was Chutz LeBezdin, it's not a Shvuah Sa'edis. That Amen is like saying the Shvuah yourself. Amravina, Mishmei the Rava, Masnaisin the Hachin Namideka. We could bring a rhyme from the Mishnah we just learned. Doktani, the Mishnah began Shvuas Bitui, Nahegis, Vanoshim, Vanoshim, Rechaikim, Bekrivim, Bekshayim, Bepsulim, Bifnei Bezdim, Shlom, Bifnei Bezdim, Mipi Atzmai. In, the Mishnah says that it has to be Mipi Atzmai, Mipi Acherim Loi, but not Mipi Acherim. Doktani Sefer, yet the Mishnah then says, Zev Zev, Mush Mipi Acherim Chayif. So first it says at the beginning of Mishnah, it's Mipi Atzmai. And then at the end of the Mishnah, it says, even Mipi Acherim, Kasha Adadi. How do we reconcile the ratio and the safe of our Mishnah? Allah Shmamina. Hada Amen Amen. When somebody says Amen, it's considered Mipi Atzmai. Hadalay Amen Amen, it's not considered Mipi Atzmai. Ask the Mara, so that's shot in the Mishnah. So what's Shmuel coming to teach us? El Shmuel my Kamashmon. Answer the Gemara, Duyuka Demeshnes Kamashmon. As the Rishonim, as the Tosfos Rosh explains. What Shmuel's coming to teach us is to explain the Mishnah this way. Rather than saying that the Mishnah represents a Machloikis Tanom, and that the Tan of the Reisha and the Tan of the Sefer are different Tanom, we're going to explain that the Mishnah is really one opinion. Just the Mishnah says that if the Shvuah was made, if there was an Amein, it's considered Mipi Atzmai. If it's, there was no Amein and it was said by others, it's not going to be in the category Mipi Atzmai. Hadron Loch Shvuah Eidus is Shvuah Shtayim. Hadron Loch Shvuah Shtayim.